Good afternoon, Rabotai, Ishtabach Shemo, Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat Kodesh, Parashat Vayeshev. Today is Kaf Aleph B'Kislev, a very prominent Yartzai today, by the way. I don't know if you know, today is the Har Tzvi's Yartzai. Great-grandfather, yeah. So he was actually a tremendous Gaon B'Torah, and one of the three people in Yabi Omer, or any of the Sfarim of Maran Zechon Ol Barcha, that he ever calls Maran, Mofet Ador. Mofet Ador, he only calls three people. Mize, he was one, Ritzvi Pesach Frank. Another one is the Chazonish, calls the Chazonish Mofet Ador. And also he calls Rav Moshe, Mofet Ador sometimes. One of the three people, Zeh. He was Machshav everybody, but Mofet Ador was a title that was reserved for Anashim Mishichmam Vama'alam Anake Onam. So he was very, very grateful his entire life to Ritzvi Pesach, because he went to his kollel after he got married, so he accepted him to his kollel, and he was the first and only Sfaradi in that kollel. It was a primarily Ashkenazi kollel. Rav Shlomo Zalman was there, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, Rav Frank's son-in-law was there, Rav Eliashiv was not there. Rav Eliashiv was already working in the Rabbanut at that time. It was a kollel of Gdolei Olam. Rav Eliashiv was significantly older than Maran Zechon Baruch.
I thought they still were close.
Yeah, but not there. It wasn't there. Anyway, so there was a rule. I mean, everybody there was Ashkenazi, and they spoke Yiddish among themselves because that was the older generation. So they made a rule in the kollel, or Frank made a rule. First of all, they weren't so happy when he was accepted to the kollel, because like mechatesi, like why are you accepting a Sephardi into the kollel? I mean, it was still like taboo back then. You know what I'm saying? But he squashed them. He says, "Don't worry, he's going to be bigger than all you guys." Anyway, so that's one. And then he also made a rule that in his presence you can't talk Yiddish, because he didn't want him to feel excluded. Because you know, Maran Zechon Baruch spoke Hebrew and Arabic, so he said you have to speak Ivrit when you're next to him, because he didn't want him to feel left out. So it was a very, and they came, everybody in the kollel came to respect Maran Zechon Baruch immensely, because anytime there was a shayla, anytime they needed to look something up, or anytime they needed an instantaneous maramakum, Maran Zechon Baruch was their man. So, Tenishmatot Sobat Sor Chaim, Gaon Gadol, I don't know if you have, I'm sure they have here, Shelot Uchuvot Haratzevi. So if you look it up, and he wrote two prominent Sfarim, I mean a set, Shut Haratzevi, and also Mikra'i Kodesh on the Mo'adim. So if you open up one of the Sfarim, Leilu Nishmatot today is Mikra'i Kodesh on Chanukah. Very nice stuff. So, let's continue where we left off last time. We're on page Yutet, page 19, towards the bottom. Ha'ikar HaShneimasar, we started this, but just quickly to get recalibrated here. Ha'ikar HaShneimasar, the 12th principle of Teshuvah. Tzarich shiachkor v'yedav yakir godel ha'onish lechol echad me'avonotav. A person must know the severity of the punishment for all of one's sins. Because if you don't associate avirot with punishment, then there's no deterrence. Punishments are meant to be a deterrent. Now, Hashem doesn't want to punish us, but it's supposed to, you know, create a deterrent. And he says, now that we're speaking about deterrent, an interesting chidush came into my mind. Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked, what's the halacha? Let's say not in the case of pikuach nefesh. In Israel, for a person to carry a gun. Where let's say it's not a case of pikuach nefesh, it's just, you know, for safety reasons. Is it mutar or asur? And he's not only talking about, you know, carrying the gun outside. He's talking about, what about muktzeh? He talks about two things. The carrying in a place where there's no eruv, and muktzeh. So in terms of caring where there's no Eruv, he says if there's no Pikuach Nefesh, now if it's a soldier guarding stuff, whatever, so that many times can be Pikuach Nefesh, or at least Safek Pikuach Nefesh, so he's Matir. But he says, now I'm talking about a rifle, which means not a concealed weapon, but like a, you know, an open rifle. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, is in Minchat Shlomo, he writes that a rifle is not, it's not Muktzeh. What about Kli Shemelachto Le'Isur? It's not Klishma Nachtol Yisur, you use it to fire, all these things, combustion, killing, whatever. So it should be only Letzorach Gufo Mekomo. How can you say it's not Muktzeh? So he says it's not. He says it's Klishma Nachtol Leheter. Huh? Why is that? He says because the purpose of a rifle, in general, what it's used for is not the Isur. In general, it's just used for deterrence. It's meant as a deterrent to kind of prevent people from carrying out attacks. In general, most times than not, it's used for that, as opposed to using the gun for the actual isurim involved with a gun. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that there's no issue of muktzeh by a gun, by a rifle. A very interesting shita. Anyway, so the punishments of the avirot are deterrents to the avirot themselves. Yesh mein זה מהן יש מלכות, ובאיזה מהן יש חייבי קריטות, ובאיזה יש חייבי מיתות בדין. There's different עבירות with different punishments. למען ידע גודל עוונו בהתוודותו. So that when you do vidui, when you confess, you know how egregious the sin was. וימרא בבכי תמרורים, a person should cry copiously. ולמען יוסיף ויכנע, ולמען יפחד מעוונותיו, כי העבירות החמורות תשובה תולב כפרתן ויסורין ומרקין. We know the Gemara tells us in מסכת יומא דף פ"ו, the teshuvah process for different עוונות is different. They're not all the same teshuvah process. You remember the Gemara says, ארבעה חילוקי כפרה, it's a baraita. There are four kinds of כפרה. What are they? Remember? Aseh. A person transgressed in aseh. For instance, he didn't put on tefillin, he didn't hear shofar, he didn't take a lulav. Says the Gemara, if he's chozer b'tshuva, eno zaz misham ad shemochalin lo. Which means if he accepts upon himself, he's chozer b'tshuva and accepts upon himself to do the mitzvah and never to abstain from doing it again, he's immediately forgiven. Then you have chayve lavim. He did a lot ta'aseh. What's the halacha with a lot ta'aseh? He's chozer b'tshuva, teshuva tola v'yom ha-kippurim mechaper. Teshuva makes him hang in the balance and he gets the full kapara at Yom Kippur. What about chayve kiritut u'mitot bedin? Chayve kiritut, what's the halacha? Person did karet. Chametz ba-Pesach, achila v'yom ha-kippurim, be'ailat nida v'arayot, huh? I mean, it is, but today that there's no malkut. So what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, over there by chayve kiritut, teshuva v'yom ha-kippurim tonim, both teshuva and yom ha-kippurim are still not enough, v'yisurim v'markim. He needs suffering, he needs yisurim in order to wipe him clean. And what's the worst of them all? Chilul Hashem. Says the Gemara, if a person was avar al chilul Hashem, teshuva, v'yom ha-kippurim, v'yisurim tonim, all those things just make you hang, u'mita mechaperet. He only gets full kapara for chilul Hashem, b'sha'at ha-mita. That's it. That's how terrible it is. So you see, based on the severity of the avira, you see the severity of the kapara and the onish as well. וכן כתוב, ראי דרכך בגי דעי מעשית. Know what you have done. והתבאר העיקר הזה בשער השלישי, the שער השלישי of שערי תשובה, by the way, is very halachic. It goes through כמעט all תרי"ג מצוות, explains the parameters of the mitzvah. שער שלישי, which it's a long time in getting there, שער שלישי of שערי תשובה is a mini ספר החינוך. Very interesting, remember that. So, למד חטא, העיקר השלושה עשר. The 13th principle of teshuva. להיות העבירות הקלות חמורות בעיניו לארבעה פנים. A person, now, we already learned this, we know this from Pirkei Avot, אל תהה מצווה קלה בעיניך, right? Don't look at small מצוות. לעולם אל תהיה מצווה קלה, because you never know שאין, אתה יודע מתן שכרן של מצוות. What about עבירות? Sometimes a person looks at עבירות like that also. Yeah. Minor עבירות. Big deal. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, never look at Navira as minor. Always inflate it. Why would I do that? For four reasons, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Hayachad, ki enlo leabit lekatnut ha'avira, aval yabit ligdulat mi shehizhir aleha. Wow, this is a huge musarvart. Don't look at the size of the avira, how big or small it is. Look at the greatness of the one who commanded us not to do it. That's always the barometer, not the avira itself. Think of who you're rebelling against. Vashani, number two. Ki ha-yetzer sholet ba'avirot ha-kalot. The yetzer hara always makes you do avirot kalot. He always says, you know what? Do this, do that. If it's a small avirah, you know, that's mitzvot she'adam dash ba'akeva. Yeah, big deal. Ve'ulai ti'izot sibba la'atmid bahim. The fact that it's such a small avirah, a person doesn't feel as guilty being so steeped in them. ואז יחשבו גם הם כחמורות בהצטרף עונש כל פעם. This is something the Chafetz Chaim brings down from the שערי תשובה. ומשלו על זה מחוץ של משי, שהוא נרפה וחלש, וכאשר יכפלו אותו כפלים רבים, יעשה אבות חזקה. Which means, what happens, ever silk, you know where silk comes from? Worms. Worms, they're called silkworms. They spin it and they have a secretion from their body that turns into strands. You ever handle a silk strand? It's like nothing, like falls apart. But if you take a bunch of them and you spin them together, then it becomes a thread. You take a bunch of those threads and you spin it together, then you have a tie. You understand? Which means the more you do something, even if it's minor, even if it's weak in nothing, which the Averot are not, but let's assume for a second that they were, the more you do it, the more you become accustomed to it, it becomes a strong rope. Yeah, every rope, every heavy-duty rope is made out of what? It started from one thread of whatever material it is. That's, remember that. Hashlishi. Another reason why a person should inflate the severity of the avirot that he does. The more a person engages in any given avira, the more it becomes like mutar in his eyes. He's going to remove the yoke of that avira. That's a totally different thing. If a person's a ba'al avira, that's one level. There's something else that in Yahadut, which is called porek ol, or mumar ledavar echad, which means, this is not my thing. This is not... I don't do this. I don't keep this one. Porek ol is al prikat ol. When a person, now again, it could be even a small thing. Mashal ma davar dome. The Chafetz Chaim explains this as well. He says, what happens if you're in the market to buy an eved? Okay, we don't do that anymore since the Emancipation Proclamation, at least in this country. But let's assume for a second you're in the market to buy an eved, or even not to buy an eved. Let's say you're looking to hire help around the house. Okay, and the guy comes, or the lady comes, or whatever it is. And everything's checking out. Wow, you know, physically capable and ready to work and on time and stuff like that. Great references. Before you hire her, she says, listen, I do everything. You know, I cook and I clean and I do laundry and I do the beds and I do all... But I don't take out the garbage. That's not something I do. Now again, if it's hired help, then you can negotiate. But if you're buying an avid, what does avdut mean? Total. Slavery. Means total subservience to your master. Even if, as small as the thing is, you know, I don't pick up candy wrappers if you drop them on the floor. I just don't do that. Then you're not an evid. An evid means that you are masur b'leva nefesh. You are completely dedicated to your master, and there's nothing that you can't or won't do. Sometimes you slip up. But if you already make that statement, I don't, then you're not an evid. You're not branded. You want to be branded as the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we slip up, that's for sure. But if a person already, if he treats an Avera as Hefker, you're already no longer an Eved. It's even worse than being Ba'al Avera. You're Mumar LeDavar Echad. We say in Parashat Kitavo, in the right before the Klalot, it says, Arur Hashem lo yakim et divrei HaTorah hazot. Ve'anak kolam ve'aman amen. What does it mean Hashem lo yakim? Even one mitzvah, one Avera. The person says, I don't do that one. That one doesn't rub me the right way. The kofer, apikoros. What kind of thing is that? Nobody asked you. That's part of an avdut, is that you don't have to understand, you don't have to want to, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be so... Hashem commanded, that's it. So that's another reason. Ve'arvei, number four. Ki im nitzecho ayom ayetzer b'davar katan, yinatzecheu machar b'davar gadol. Kmo she'amru rabotanu zechanu racha,
which
is another major point. When a person does even small avirot, yeah, relatively, yeah, he does a small avira, the way the Yetzer Hara works is he uses that as like a stepping stone, like a springboard to get to the worst avirot. That's why the Gemara says, when a person breaks things, when he's angry, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Everybody knows that chazal. Why is that? Why? The Gemara explains. It's not that, think about it for a second, breaking something when you're angry. What does that have to do with avodah zarah? Nothing. Right? Think of it. It broke something. Okay, so that's worshipping idols? That's a big jump. Big stretch. Ela, the yitzhara wants you to fall into that trap. Why? Because he starts with something minimal, and then slowly but surely he gets you to do worse and worse and more severe avirot, eventually you'll get to avodah zarah. Look what the Gemara says. The Gemara just says one step. Hayom omelo asekach, he tells him to do any avirah today, and tomorrow the Yetzer Hara shoots big. Where does he go for? Umachar omelo lech avodah zarah. See? He doesn't waste time. All he needs is a foothold. You let him in, you're done. That's the way it works. Now, v'ne'emar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Cain after he killed Hevel, you know, Cain got very depressed after the Avera. Most Mefarshim explain why was he so upset. Not only was he scared, but the Avera, when a person does an Avera, it depresses you. It puts you in a feeling of depression, gloom. He was in a very bad place, Cain. And who came to cheer him up? He just murdered a man. Who came to cheer him up? Kadosh Baruch Hu came to talk to him. He told him, Lama naflu falecha? He says, why are you so upset? Halo im tetiv se'et perush למה נפלו פניך? Why are you so upset? הלא אם תטיב מעשיך ותשוב אליי, שאת. If you rectify your ways and you come back to me, שאת פירוש תישא פניך, מלשון כי אז תישא פניך ממום, which means, ויש לפרשו לשון סליחה, השם says, this Cain just murdered a person. The first murder in the history of the world was Cain. You know that? He didn't even know how to kill him. You know that? The Ramban brings down, he kept on stabbing him and hitting him because he didn't know where the neshama would come out from. He knew the neshama came in from the nose, but he didn't know where it left. So he didn't know how to kill. He had to experiment. This was, you know, an experiment of murder. And he did it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to tell him, if you're chozer b'tshuva, the worst thing you can do in life is murder somebody. Take away his shfichut damim. And Hashem says, if you're chozer b'tshuva, I'll accept you. Don't be so upset. Can you imagine? Nobody here is a murderer. So why do we think that we're beyond, not beyond teshuvah, but why do we minimize the effects of teshuvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to comfort a murderer because he wanted him back. You don't think Hashem wants us? I said 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Parashat Toldot, I spoke in shul and I explained to people that one of the big nisyonot in this generation is obviously parenting. Very, very big nisayon. Yeah, Bezat Hashem, when the time comes, you should have the easiest time and the biggest atzlacha, Bezat Hashem. You should never know of nisyonot. But, you know, unfortunately, one of the themes of the generation is chinuch is hard, especially with the outside world being as depraved as it is today. Technology, stuff like that. Name of the game, Rabotai. Minimize technology and filter, filter, filter. That's like ABCs. Otherwise, you're toast. Your toast, your family's toast, your children are toast. The pashut, pashut, pashut. There's no. That's like aleph bet of gdolei. I'm not even talking. That's like before you even start parenting. That's not even parenting. That's self-help. Yeah, but let's put that on the side. You know, there's even acronyms in this generation for OTDs. Yeah, you know what those are? You know, off the derech and all sorts of BT, FFB. You know, all sorts of. I don't like stereotyping people. No, that's Tervidas. Yeah?
Man,
we just say Tumavishan. No, but I don't like labeling people. There's too many labels in this generation, too judgmental. You know, this one's a BT and that one's an FFB and that one's Yeshivish and the you know, Orthodox and modern Orthodox and ultra Orthodox. I'm not a book. You don't have to label me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. It kind of limits the person, it inhibits him from getting, but that's a different story. A lot of parents, unfortunately, in this generation struggle with off the derech children. Who is the, well, I wouldn't say the first, but who is the second Jewish person in history that we know with an off the derech child? Yitzchak and Esav. Ishmael, lefachot, chazar b'tshuva. Ishmael was chazar b'tshuva, you know, at the end of his life. Esav was never chozer b'tshuva. Yitzchak Avinu his entire life, and you know who Yitzchak Avinu was, Pachad Yitzchak, Midat Adin, Gvura, intense, cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Din, Halacha, and he had to grow up with such a kid in his house and deal with him and show him love. Can you imagine what kind of nisayon that was? So I told people in shul, not that it necessarily applies, but in general, even if a person is faced, Sheloneda, but even if a person is faced with a parenting or chinuch nisayon, don't worry. You're not as great as Yitzchak Avinu, and your kids aren't as bad as Esav. You can handle it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yitzchak Avinu, Gdol HaOlam, was forced his entire life, 180 years, to deal with a rasha merusha growing. He wasn't a fool. He understood very well, you know, in kindergarten, they make it seem that Yitzchak, that Esav tricked Yitzchak, and he knew perfectly well. He just had a different shita in chinuch than Rivka. But what? At the end of the day, he was forced. You know what kind of avodat amidot that is? Big, big tzaddikim, they can't stand to be in the company of Rishaim. It hurts them. It irks them when people don't follow the Derech Hashem. Can you imagine having a son like that, when you're like that? Living with him, being forced to live with him and love him and deal with him. Can you imagine that avodat amidot every single day that Yitzchak had to go through? Can you imagine? and he did it valiantly. Eventually, he realized at the time of the Brachot, when they were 64 years old, Yitzchak charada gedola ad meod. Yitzchak Avinu realized that this guy was full of hot air, and there was no chance that he was going to be chozer b'tshuva. Ra'at pitcha shel Gehinam p'tucha lefanav. He realized that Gehinam entered. When Yaakov Avinu entered, Gan Eden, Reach Gan Eden entered with him. When Esav entered, Gehinam entered with him. And Yitzchak was able to see Gehinam, even though he was blind at the time. Kol makom, that's a big lesson I tell people. Never underestimate the power of love, and never underestimate the power of teshuva. We're not as great as Yitzchak Avinu. We never will be. And the kids ain't as bad as Esav and Rasha. So there's hope. Don't lose hope. I think that's a big vart, if I say so myself. I tell it to people, and it's cause for chizuk. Esav came back that day, remember? He did 5 avirot, chamurot, retzicha, gilu arayot, avodah zarah, gezel, all sorts. And yet, Yitzchak still showered him with love, and he didn't kick him out of the house. And now obviously, everything in chinuch needs to be weighed. There needs to be balance. There needs to be, you know, Rabbanim and Da'at Torah involved. That's not a question. But at the end of the day, look at Yitzchak Avinu. Ma'aseh avot siman labanim. Anything that's written in the Torah is there for us to learn and for us to internalize, because there are things that we can apply to our day-to-day lives. Weiter. Now, he continues. V'yesh lefarsho, v'im lo tetiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues and tells Cain, if you don't better your ways, explains Rabbi Yonah, if you don't chozer b'tshuva from what you sinned, not only the avon that you did will rest with you, what do you think, the yetzer is going to be satisfied by getting you to do one avera? What are you kidding? This is just the opening act. This is the pre-game show. He's going to get you, this opens the floodgates for him to get you to do all manners of avirot. Once you let him in, and once he beats you, he will continue to beat you. He'll be in ambush for you. You'll be trapped and you won't have a way out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to tell Cain, the Yetzirah's one and only ambition is to get you to stray from the path of Torah. And he will, you know, he's plotting against you, waiting in ambush. What does that mean, you'll control him? If you want to, you want to take your life into your hands, you'll be able to control him. Hashem says, that's why I punish people for sins. You know why? Since I gave you the opportunity to overcome the Yetzirah, if you chose not to do, then that's a choice, like anything else. People say, I didn't have a choice. I wasn't, it doesn't matter. You know, anytime a person doesn't have an adag, Gemara says in Masechet Sota, "Ein adam chote, ela im kein nichnisa bo ruach shetut." Yeah? Plead insanity. Guess what? Insanity don't work in Judaism. Because guess what? Every avirah comes from insanity. I'm not talking about a real shoteh. A real shoteh is patur mikol mitzvot. But a person, you know, a person could say, well, I was insane at the moment. I was consumed with tahava and whatever it is. It doesn't work like that. Nachon, you're temporarily insane, but that's not a taina that can save us biyom adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you the koach. I gave you that ability to vanquish the yetzerara. Therefore, you're going to be held accountable. But I will continue. Next week, Vezat Hashem. Hope to see you all over Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Wonderful to see you, as always. Kotu.